folks. By the way, this is not a J.G. Wentworth commercial of them having your money and you need it now. Think of it like this, right? You ever been in a position to where you've been around, and this is just going to be a raw moment. You ever been around trash people? Have you ever been around trash environments? Have you ever been around trash situations? Congratulations. This episode is made just for you. Yes. This is not to say that people are trash or anything of that nature, but this is talking about the reflection of your world. In this episode of Breakout of the Unhinged, we're going to be talking about lack and self-worth. How do you make your self-worth equal your net worth? As you can tell, the coffee just hit me just now, so I'm probably not going to talk right for the next 15 minutes, but that's okay. We're here. That being said, welcome to Break Out of the Unhinged. We have two spiritual coaches who talk about things, life, spirituality, and just all real world, real life things. You're hosted by James Tates. That is I from Soul Tribe Transformations. I'm a transformation and mindset coach. And my co-host is...
I'm Coach Eva Morales, holistic healing coach, and... I'm with Reveal, Release, Reclaim, and yeah, I'm just excited to be here sharing the space with you, James, and, you know, with our listeners and viewers. So it's just a blessing to be here. Yeah, you started real raw. Beginning, you're like, you know, when this happened and that happened, and it's about our perception, you know, and about what it is that we are currently experiencing in our life, right? From a place of how can I change the way I see things so that it's like for my highest good, for my greatest outcome, right? Because if you're like, oh, I see trash this, trash that, whatever, it's like, okay, how can I transmute the situation? But also give like validity to where you're at currently and decide to change. Decide to move into the space that you want to be in, you know? Or that's what came up for me when you were talking about that.
Yeah. It's not just change. Because I think when we hear the word change, sometimes, you know, from a societal standpoint, change can be viewed as a bad word. Change is like that doormat, that ugly welcome doormat that we really don't want to step on. Yes, there's people who have ugly doormats. I'm talking about myself. But other than that, I digress. But, you know, when it comes to change, a lot of times we don't welcome it. We don't step into it. We don't lean into it because of the uncertainties, the unpredictability of it, right? Just all those things. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, that's where a lot of those reflections come into play. And that's when we become aware, and that through that awareness, a shift happens. A shift change. It could go one or two ways, right? We can continue going down, you know, the trash route, as mentioned previously, or we can go through the route to where we take action, we clean up that trash. And when you go into that cleanup, that path of cleanup, now we're in a position to where we start reflecting on the people that's in our lives, the situations that we're in, and all things that is trash. You want to go down the path of trash, it can turn into dumpster juice real quick. It can get real dicey, right? Yes, this is possibly... Go ahead.
And once you recognize that there is like trash in your perception, it's like, okay, how can I remove this for me to be like in a better space? For me to really like water my garden, my street, my whatever you view yourself as, to remove that trash, you know? And this could be environment, this could be people, this could be like whatever you find in your awareness that does not serve you.
Absolutely. And that's where it comes into play. Probably a bit of my rawness came out because I guess, what was it? I seen something, just a quick side note, I think something came up on my notification saying that Uranus is sextiling Mercury. So I'm being encouraged to just be bold and be raw. So yeah, bear with me as I go through this. It's all in good faith. I digress. When we look at our lives and whatnot, and I guess I'll push this towards into like a story moment. Yes, most people know the story. I'm not going to sit there and beat on a dead horse at this juncture. I think I did that for about 5 years straight. If you haven't heard it, that's okay. You can catch up on previous episodes. Shameless plug. But with that being said, there was a point in time when I went through that massive awakening and I had to really recognize the situations, the people I was around. And like, listen, the people are not bad. However, you start recognizing from a place of building, right? Building yourself back up, rebirth, however you want to put it, right? Whatever word fits you. And at that point, I started to recognize that either I outgrew the people or there was a place at a point in time to where my growth was being stunted. So looking into that, you know, I had to really get to this place of accountability and like, and there's like, you know, we talked about ego death prior to it and I was really fighting myself. And I got to that place to where it's like, no, something has to change. If I'm going to bring this in, I have to change. I have to make a change. I have to do this or I have to eliminate that. And I think when we get into this place of lack and scarcity, that's our comfort zone. At this point, we're just accepting breadcrumbs. Why accept breadcrumbs when you can take the whole damn loaf? And I love my carbs, right? So getting into this episode real quick, yes, we mentioned, you know, lack. We mentioned survival mode. This is possibly going to be more of the accountability approach, if that makes sense, right? So if... for lack of better terms, if your world is trash, chances are you are probably in a position to where you are telling yourself, my life is trash. How in the hell do I fix this? This is not an episode of Ayanla Fix My Life, but however, this right here, this will probably be like 5 steps in terms of taking that approach. Everybody's journey and everybody's path is different. Take it as you may. Take it how it resonates. I sound like one of the tarot readers. I sound so cool. No, I'm kidding. But with that being said, like on a serious note, like this is a great opportunity. Like we're already into the new year. I don't do the resolution thing. However, I welcome to those who are watching and or listening to like really take heed to this, to really lean into this. This is a great opportunity. And maybe this is calling for you to listen or to hear two different people who went through their own journeys of like welcoming the shift, welcoming change. So getting into it, lack. Good old lack. When we talk about lack, it's like, yeah, you may have the home, you may have the car, you may have it all, at least to what you think and what you're, you know, whatever that is. It could be stemming.
The 3D and the, yes, you know, basic necessity, the physical. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for me growing up, it was like, you know, the upbringing that I had, you know, parents, you know, having their split and watching them, you know, make it through now as single adults, you know, and me and looking to where I was at, not where I was at then, but more so into the now. That journey of that, it's like I've recognized that I went through like a major shift and upgrade to my life. So getting into lack, how can I put this? Folks, this is off the cuff, so just know that this is going to be real and raw as I talk about this. But for me, lack, what does that mean? I will answer it in this small bit. Back in my little adventures in Virginia, we was me and my family was run off of one car. You know, we had a Lincoln. what was it? I always get this model mixed up. We'll just say Lincoln Town Car. At that time, I got put out of my mother's house, fresh out the I was out the military, and I was struggling. Not struggling from a place of, well, addictions was one part, alcoholism, but struggling with adjusting, struggling with my transition, right, out of the military. And at that time, borrowing my mom's car to get back and forth to work, waking up at 4 a.m. to go to school, to go get the degree. And at that time, the mindset was more so of, I'm only going to school to collect a check. Yeah. At that time I had my oldest son, and it was a lot of, at least in my own world, it was survival. Getting up at that time, it was a lot. Fast forward to about 3 to 4 years later, I may be wrong in that time frame. I remember, you know, I got into a spat with my mom. Got put out the house, me and my family. And it was up to me to figure it out, or at least to what I felt, right? Ended up living with my dad for a little bit. And at that time, you know, I had stocks from my previous job, my previous employer at Best Buy. End up getting a check. I lucked out. Did I mention I was a Sagittarius? But I lucked out, and I ended up getting a nice, you know, Lincoln Town Car, 60,000 miles on it. It did. It was doing what it was supposed to do. And at that time, I thought I was on cloud nine, right? I went from like a blue Toyota Camry that I was borrowing to get to do my basic necessities to getting a, you know, Lincoln Town Car that had heated seats. It had 60,000 miles. It was serviceable, did what it was supposed to do. And, you know, I rest in peace to the OG Trap Bubble. That was the name of the vehicle. Don't judge me. But at that time, you know, it got us to our next step, which was getting our place, right? And at that time, you know, we lost, as time went along, there's some unpredictable, unforeseen situations that came up. You know, going through therapy, going through, like, you know, trying to learn how to manage the bills. You know, I was the breadwinner. Let's take the word breadwinner out. I was the person that was responsible for all the bills. And given the circumstances of where I worked at, it was a lot of trying moments, a lot of money shuffling. It was a lot of this. It was a lot of that. And, you know, it was a lot that was going on. I remember we came back, me and my family came back from therapy. And luckily, engine goes out. Mind you, Richmond to Fredericksburg is about an hour and some change away. We got back to Fredericksburg, and Jim was like sputtering. I paid a $3,000 to replace the engine. Took out a loan for that $3,000, which sucked because I was paying a good amount of it back. Just to turn around and get rear-ended by somebody under the influence. What a time to be alive. More unpredictable shit happening. I ended up borrowing my dad's truck for a little bit. I finally do the smart thing and I call the bank to get a loan. And we get a brand new vehicle. Fresh off the lot. You know, at that time, I was flexing. I was stunned. I came in that joint like I was big shit. Had the check. You guys take the cashier's check. Boom, gave him the check. Got off the lot with the new vehicle. But this is the catch. After the suicide attempt, at that time it was during COVID, obviously, another COVID story.
Yay!
At that time, after, you know, the suicide attempt and everything, that's when the shift happened. That's when the work really started to happen. Stay with me as I tell the story. I started to realize that I was accepting breadcrumbs. I was accepting a lot. End result, I was able to get my significant other at the time, we ended up getting two vehicles. this is the going to perspective. For me, my definition through my experience of lack was that I was accepting stuff from a place of survival. We're going to take that survival word. We're going to put that off to the side for a second. Stay with me now. Everything that I've mentioned, it was just one. Knowing full and goddamn well that my family had other needs. And I was just trying to survive day to day. I was trying to just be in the moment of this day to day. Just trying to do the best that I can. And I was doing it, goddamn it. I know my worth. But what I've learned after that attempt and working from home, I was like, no. I'm gonna get a bigger vehicle. My kids are getting bigger. My oldest son is about as tall as me. Conversation for another day. But I jumped into it. And I remember I told my ex, I was like, look, we're gonna get a bigger vehicle. The kids are getting bigger. And we just jumped into it, right? Or at least, excuse me, I jumped into it. I took action. And it was a risk. Or at least I thought it was a risk. When in reality, I thought when it was the right thing to do. Once I started seeing my worth in terms of, you know, just everything that was around me, that's when my entire world changed. It's crazy how one car could teach you a lesson or teach me a lesson, speaking for myself. It's crazy how those moments, those little pocketed moments, can teach you so much. You know, I was like, when you think about lack, you think about control, putting yourself in a box just to be okay. When in reality, there's so much more to life to experience based upon the evolution of one's worth. So for me, when I thought about from my experience of lack, as I land the plane and bring it back full circle, lack is what you decided to be. Lack is one of those things to where if you're trying to, you know, lack equals lack of thriving. Lack equals lack of self-worth. When I think about lack, I think about control. And I had to get out of my own way. I had to get out of my own ego. I had to break free from me realizing that I was controlling myself in a narrative, in a situation for something that was completely false. So when it comes to lack for you, where do you feel like you're lacking at? Where do you feel like you need to break free from? Where do you feel like you're controlling yourself? It can get knee deep. Eva, you was about to say something.
I was like thinking about what you're saying, and then in terms of lack in my life. And I mean, in previous episodes, I talked about like the lack of stability with me growing up, the lack of having a home, the lack of just feeling that like I wasn't worth anything because that's what was like given to me. Or like in my early teenagers, like my mom's ex-husband would project a lot. Like he would talk a lot about how like I was worthless and that I was never going to amount to anything. And that I was never going to, you know, do anything with my life. Mm-hmm. And when people have like that type of like talk, it has a lot to do with them and what they feel about themselves. And it has nothing to do with like you. And it's like you can choose to take what people say or you could decide to reject it. And me, when I was growing up, I decided to reject it. And it was from a place of like, I went to school, I did everything, but I was really like motivated by the pain of like the words that I was told and not so much like from a place of purpose. I feel like now being a coach and being able to help people in the way that I help them, it's more of a way of being in my purpose and what it is that I'm here to do for other people. Whereas like before it was like, oh, I need to just do instead of be, and do from a place of lack, from a place of pain, instead of doing from a place of abundance and from a place of purpose. And how all of this gets into what would you call it? It's like what you said, like lack of self-worth from a place of taking on what people's perspective of me was. When in reality, it's like, I'm so worthy of whatever it is that I decide to give myself, whatever it is that I decide that I'm worthy of, right? Growing up, I was just like, I'm going to get into the program called AVID. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z. And I did the thing, right? And in the last time where I didn't have a home, it was because I like chose to move in with a partner and it didn't work out, right? And it was just because I had the same stories of like not feeling worthy of having a place, right? And it's like, I kept seeing that. I kept like visualizing that. And it was like me tormenting myself, when in reality, it's like, I can give myself everything that I want. I can give myself everything that I desire. And it just comes with saying, I'm going to do it, and actually accomplishing it and getting it done. But lack is like a really like messed up place to be. And I'm over here like, and I'm telling you this because I did it. I mean, I was like 29 and I was going through that situation and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to come out of it. I tried to do all of like the motivational positive stuff. But it's like sometimes it takes acknowledging the things that you've gone through in order for you to really step into that. It's like, look, I went through this shit and I was fucked up, you know? But how can I learn from that? Because that's how you transmute it. You can't just be like, oh, positive, 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 and not learn from your struggles. Everything is like a learning curve when we come to this world, because we're in the space of transformation and in the space of transmuting and alchemizing everything that we're here on earth to like learn from, and all of these lessons to really like take time to acknowledge the things that may not be, you know, serving us so much, right? It's like, I feel like this conversation like is helping me, because it's like, oh, those were not my feelings, those were somebody else's feelings, and I can decide to reject that or take that. And it just depends on whatever you feel about yourself. Like, you can choose what other people say about you, or you can choose what you say about you, and nurturing that relationship with you, because the longest relationship you're ever going to have is the one you have with yourself, the one you deem yourself worthy of. Like, that story, that narration, that true like essence of what it is that you are. And it's like, okay, once you have the physical stuff, it's like, how can I continue to nurture myself at an emotional level, at a mental level, at a spiritual level? How can I get to the space of, what is everything that I'm doing in my life, what is that like coming into? Like, what is that like a culmination of? How is it that I'm able to make a change and impact in other people's life through conversation, through shifting paradigms and perspectives, and going from seeing the lack and acknowledging the lack and saying like, I'm going to take my power back and say, I'm not going to allow that to pull me back, right? But it's recognizing it and realizing that you went through that shit, and that shit was hard. And regardless of anything, like, it's important for you to acknowledge it so that you can be like, all right, I see it. Now I'm done with that. Let's move on.
What if I was to tell you to be grateful for that lesson? What if I was to tell you that the universe is doing their big one? Because this is the thing, right? Hear me out. When we go through these experiences, when we look at ourselves in the mirror and whatnot, it's like, yeah, it sucks in the moment. I was actually talking to a colleague of mine, and we talked about some of our struggles, and we both came to the realization, like, damn, the struggle felt like it was forever, but looking back at it, it was only but X amount of time, or this moment of time, or whatever, right? But sometimes those moments that feel like it's the longest, that's where we get hit with the biggest amount of lessons. You feel me? And those time frames determine the volume of what you're here for in this lifetime. You feel me? So like for me, I was in that window of time for like a few years before it finally clumped me upside my forehead and said, "Hey, stupid, wake your ass up." And upon that, it was like, okay, this is leading me towards something. Okay, I have this to be grateful for. I'm grateful that I had this experience because it grew me into this. It grew me into that. It, like my world, it gave me an opportunity to take back the pen, to write my story, or to write a new chapter in my life, to be around new people, to further grow and ascend. Sometimes the universe we serve, sometimes, or how can I put this? Sometimes we serve the universe or whoever we, you know, we believe in as our co-creator. Sometimes we serve them the biggest thank you cards. Like, thank you. Thank you, Sky Daddy. Thank you, universe. Thank you for doing your big one, because had this not happened, I'd probably be, you know, just existing. I will probably continue to exist in this life as opposed to being given the opportunity to live through learning these lessons, through going through these trials, through going through these hardships. You've taught me that I can break free from myself. You've taught me to break free from societal norms. Now, don't get me wrong. I say this again. Society is there as a North Star, right? So if you are stuck like Chuck, or if you're lost in the sauce, you always have society to go back to. But what if I was to tell you that you came into this world being smarter than what society dictates? Yeah. So that being said, when it comes to lack, as I simplify that, lack is what you decided to be. Through the lessons, if you choose to lean into it, or through the aftermath of those lessons, if you choose to continue to exist in it. Notice how I didn't use the word live. Because when we go through these hardships and trials, we're just existing. We're trying to do everything we can to rewrite the narrative, when in reality, we're just erasing a sentence or a paragraph or two or three just to cover up some bullshit. Getting into survival, right? Survival. It sucks. I say that with a big, big ass smile on my face. It sucks. It fucking sucks. However, again, survival is what we make of it. Survival is the color. This is maybe a little abstract. Survival is the color that we add to our lives. Hear me out. When we think about survival, we think about so many things and whatnot, right? We go through many, let's put a label on this, many passages of rites. Teenager, we're trying to find our identity. We're trying to fit in, and we're surviving through, you know, the social aspect. We become adults, or 18-year-olds, or at least in my case, a 15, 16-year-old who graduated high school early and thought I was grown and I was able to rip and run the streets. Because I hung out and I was cool and I was able to rub elbows with some of the older folks. Hell no. I fucked that shit up. It was terrible. Parties in the house. You know, I've learned real quick that my parents can find out exactly what I did over the weekend by looking in the trash can. They find a few red cups. I'm in trouble. Why did I bring up that example? As you guys can tell, the caffeine hit and we're on a roller coaster of lack and survival. Stay with me now. What does that mean? When it comes to survival and whatnot, it's a bunch of covering up. We start realizing through these stages of these rites of passages and these stages of evolution, we start realizing, at least for me, I started realizing I was covering up a bunch of truth to myself. It's one thing to cover up truth to others. that's one layer of it. That's surface level. But when you go deep, you start discovering that you're covered up the truth of yourself, what you can be, what you can't, what you're limiting yourself to, what you can expand yourself to, what you're worthy of. And when that parent, mom or dad, or at least in my case, my stepmother and my father, they find out the red cup's in the trash can and all your stuff gets out there to the public, or to them in this case, got nobody to be mad at but yourself. And that's just being real. That's just being honest. This is no judgment. This is nothing personal. This is not an attack. But when you think about it from that aspect, it's like, what are you really covering up within yourself? Because when you get caught, that's when the thoughts start coming through.
Yeah.
And you sit to yourself and it's like, damn, I could have done this or I should have done that. Maybe I couldn't have made that decision. Maybe I could have handled this differently. You start realizing a bunch of stuff in that process. I mean, at that point, it's already too late. You're probably grounded for the rest of your life. You can't go outside unless you're going to college or whatever, but that's neither here nor there. But what is there lies some nuggets of truth. Some of the truth that you don't want to see. So when it comes to survival for me, having to deal with the ocean spray tsunami of harsh truths about myself. See, in this suicide attempt of mine that I had a few years ago, what wasn't told in that was a lot of the emotional stuff, the depth that I had to deal with, all the stuff that I steamrolled in my life emotionally, logically, and matters of the heart. And I was just making it through because I was running away from my emotions. I was running away from, you know, hell. I was running away from my own ego. That's a whole nother conundrum. But once I got the help and I started dealing with myself, once I had that kneecap to kneecap conversation with myself and my ego, I came to the table. All right, look here. Some things are about to change. And that's when the ego starts combating itself, having these arguments, these moments of confrontation with you, like, you're doing just fine as is. Why do you need to change this? Just put that off into the trash can, man. We don't need that right now. However, you tell yourself or your ego, no, we're going to deal with this. Yes. We're going to break it down. We're going to dissect that son of a bitch, and we're just going to roll with it. And we're going to figure it out. We're going to turn this into something pretty. Ego's fighting you. You're fighting ego. It's a back and forth. It's like the most toxic relationship that you have. And you talk about 3D toxic relationships. Let me tell you, the one with your ego is a humdinger. I haven't used that word in a long time. But there are some moments to where the ego said some things to me and it pissed me off and vice versa. But as time goes along, from a place of survival, you know, you're like, it ties to the ego because the ego is there to protect you. But when you discover through all those harsh truths, getting caught and your life just being thrown back and being a mirror to you, back in your face in a sense. Holy shit. I'm a mess. I'm trash. You get honest with yourself. You get real with yourself. But at the end of the day, once you realize that you're still here, you're given an opportunity. Or better yet, you recognize that you have an opportunity to start over. The opportunity to do good will always be there. It's about the person that makes that choice.
So what color was your life back then, and what color did you decide to paint it?
I didn't even have enough money to have color. I was still lacking at that time. It's crazy how you asked. That's an amazing question. I just had a blank canvas. A blank canvas that was just sitting there in my own personal life. Yeah, I had, you know, Bob Ross was there with his fro and whatnot. Let's paint some happy trees. At that point, excuse my French, fuck them happy trees. I'm trying to make it to tomorrow. I'm trying to make it to payday. I'm trying to make it for my son's birthday. I'm trying to make it to pay this car note. I'm trying to make it to pay this bill. And once I got to that place, to your question, once I decided to pick up that paintbrush, I made a choice. I made a conscious choice. You know what I'm saying? Made a conscious choice of, you know, just like, you know, let me figure this out. I don't know how to paint worth a damn. Bob Ross has always been my hero, I guess. But let's fuck some shit up. If they don't like it, if the outside world don't like it, fuck them. They're not worth it for me. On that canvas, as I went through survival, like trying to face face myself and my ego, I drew a few circles. I drew a few corners. I sat with those. Part of survival, you start recognizing not just the world as you walk, but you start discovering the world around you in terms of the people and the places and things. Yes, this is not a noun, but you catch my drift. You start discovering, like, within that circle, who is for themselves, and you start discovering in them corners who are for you. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying, and I can relate so much with it, because you know how you were talking about having like a complete like blank canvas, right? So with having that, it's like there's so much opportunity to create whatever it is that you want. Mm-hmm. For me, what you were saying, it's like I had moments where I would run away too. It's like I was teaching, and then it was basically like saving money for my next trip and going on the next trip and going on the next trip. But even though I went on trips, I was still tripping, you know? I was not in a space of dealing with my emotion. It's like, even though I would go on these trips, because my goal was to go to like, or it still is to go to like all of the world wonders, I've gone to three, but even then, it's like, I know that I want to go back now that I'm like more healed, because I feel like I would be able to be more present. Whereas before, it's like I was in this beautiful space, this beautiful place, but I did not have those moments of true happiness because I was still thinking about the old stuff, you know? So for me, I feel like my life was very like gray. It had no color. It was just monotony, just doing the same thing over and over again without like a clear purpose, you know? And when I would go on these trips, it'd be like, oh, maybe some like lighter or darker or some red. So it's going from like the gray would be like the pain versus like the limited colors would be like the pleasure, like these small bits of like pieces that I would allow myself to have. When in reality, until I decided to deal with all of my like repressed emotions, that was not until, you know, recently, was that I was able to truly see like, wow, this is how happiness feels like. This is what joy feels like. This is what these other emotions feel like. It's so refreshing because I came from survival, and like knowing now that I can like thrive at a mental and emotional space and a physical space virtually now, it just feels like I'm more complete, more whole as a person.
If I may, there's some people, or before I say people, I was at a point in time to once I've experienced those happy moments, the happy trees that I drew, I was scared as shit of those. Because my world has been constructed in so much chaos. I got so used to waking up, putting on my armor, not to go Knights of the Round Table, but you catch my drift. But waking up, having to put on armor, wake up to grab my basic equipment, sword and shield, to go take on the world. And what I mean by that is going to the same job, not trusting the same people, going into being around the same environments, not trusting that environment. And having to be develop, I guess, to develop this sense of hyper independence. Right? Because I've always had people tell me, well, James, you're needy. James, you're codependent. I'm like, well, shit, you're supposed to be my friend, or you're supposed to be this person to me in my life, and I can't even come to you. And all I'm asking is for A, B, C, and D. So they're like, yes, there are people in your polarity to where, yeah, it's like the best fucking thing since sliced bread to actually experience those emotions in its true, in its truest form. And there is another polarity on my side of the house. And this is not to say one is better than the other or take one story away from the other. But the reality of it is, too, there's people that when they experience it, it's like it's an oh shit moment. I felt joy. Oh my God, take it back. Oh my God, I'm happy. Take it back. It's not for me. For me, that's when I realized once I got back to the castle, I took off that chest piece. I take off the mask. And the one time I take that big, deep breath after fighting and taking on the world, or better yet, fighting absolutely nothing, what am I fighting? Why am I fighting this? I just want to live. I'm tired of fucking existing. What am I surviving? Who am I surviving for? And that's when it hit me. That's when I realized it was time to let that shit go. Let that shit go. I had to get to a place to where I had to stop all the anxieties. I had to tell myself, yeah, I got PTSD, but I'm more than that. I'm built different. My past doesn't dictate my present, and for damn sure will not dictate my future. You can bet that. So what do I need to do in this present moment to be one step closer to where I want to be? And part of it, not part of it, the first step was to work on letting go of chaos. Yes, I'm thankful that chaos is a part of my life, because I now know how to dance in the firestorm. But I also know, and I know my worth from the place of I have a right to dance in that sunshine. I have a right to want to feel needed and to need others, and not from a place of codependency. Because the people in my corner, they're going to hold me accountable. That's what I need. The people in my circle, they're just there for the good time. They're there for the perception of what James is. The James in their dreams. I'm not saying this from a place to be egotistical or braggadocious, like, but real talk. Everybody has an idea of what that person is until you actually see them in their private space, in their personal world, whatever that may have you. Do you still accept that person? Do you still bang with that person like you say you do? Or is this all a facade? Because see, when it comes time for that person to dibble and dabble into my world of chaos, are you still going to be there? And in my case, through my hyper independence, I discovered that I was pushing people away that was really for me. Yeah, it was easy to push away the people that was in my circle. Fuck them. That was easy. The hard work came into play to where I recognized that I was burning bridges because I was sabotaging so much out of survival. Who can I trust? I went from not trusting the world to giving the world a chance. And that's when I started to see up above, the sky is clear. My world went from acid rainstorms of burning down everything, sabotaging, to now happy rain, to where a rose can grow from concrete. I gave myself a chance to have my own rebirth. I gave myself a chance to let go of survival and just take a breath, to just breathe, be in the moment. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here on this podcast. I wouldn't be able to meet the people that I meet, that I've met. Some I haven't talked to in a minute. And these are the same people that still check in on me, that say the highs, how you doing? All that stuff. And they still tell me, man, James, we love you. I know we ain't heard from your dumb ass in a while, but we still love you. Okay, thanks a lot. But and those are the people that hey, even those that I talk to on a day-to-day basis, they'll be quick to put that foot in my ass. You included, you've put your foot in my ass a few times. I still feel the remnants of your heel in my backside. Thanks. But but what I've learned from a place of survival and how it ties into lack, I was trying to control the narrative. It's just as simple as that. Trying to control the narrative and try to survive to keep the narrative the same thing. I had control and survival as the main thing. And when you keep the main thing of that, the main thing, your world is going to reflect it back to you. My world was, my entire world was trash. I was trash. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm holding myself accountable. I'm not dogging myself out. I know I'm him. I know I'm the shit. Whether you believe it or not, I know who I am. But the same token too, I recognize where I was in my past to where I'm at now. And then, I thank God and I thank the universe every day for doing their big one, in this time of in the season of change, in the season of transformation, season of reflection, right? And it's like, I say all this to remind, you, the viewer or listener that is, checking this out, you are worth it. You might be struggling right now, you might be in your head. Shit, you might even have moments of what I went through. Whether if you're on the brink of unaliving yourself. I'm here to remind that person or group that you're worth it. And those that reflect or tell you directly that you ain't shit, it's all projection. Projections, fear, lack, survival. The commonality of those all is that it's unreal. It's as real as you allow it to be, but in reality, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Shine a light on some things and, our ritual. Before we record, me and Coach Eva, we kind of like have our little banter, talk about how the week has been, the things that we're grateful for, and so on and so forth. And it kind of leads up to like, hey, what do we want to talk about today?
Yeah.
And, coffee time, whatever. But but what I'm saying is this, is like, when we talked about that, and really recap, like reflecting on our stories, it really, at least for me, it came down to understanding my worth, understanding that I have a right to be here, understanding that I deserve to live the life that I want. What do I need to do in this moment on a day-to-day basis to pull my head out of my own ass? Straight up. I'm just being real.
You're so graphic.
because I'm very passionate about that. I wouldn't even wish a person struggle on my worst enemy, which I don't have any, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And I say that with part of it is because of when I talk about it, I think back to my past and how, at least for me, it was tough. It was hard. I came a long way and now I'm here with you. sharing to the world, like, yo, you are worth it. Sharing, like, trying to save somebody's life. There's urgency and intensity behind what I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to be a bit graphic. So what? You don't like it? Kick rocks. I don't care. I feel, yeah, you know, I said what I said, and I stand on it. Kick rocks, move around so the next person or the person that needs this help or needs that layer of accountability, they can take on to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also from a place of like making sure that not only are you surrounding yourself with people who have like your best interest in mind, but also like you thinking about having your own best interest in mind so that nothing from the outside can shake you internally. Because when you know who you are, you know what you deserve, when you know that you have the self-worth and you have that self-love and being able to care for yourself from like a very deep and genuine place, you know that nothing outside of you can shake you because you have decided this is who you are and this is what you're accountable for. And moving forward in this way, it's something that is beautiful, and you're able to change your own paradigm. Because when you are there for you, you will see like the people that are there for you. And I don't mean Thanks. Just here in this like physical plane. I'm saying like even for me being really like connected with my spirituality and being connected with you know, my ancestors and stuff, I had like a beautiful like coaching call where I was feeling some type of way of like, oh, you know, what if people reject me or like things like that, and it had nothing to do with people outside of me. It had to do with me. Like something in me was like rejecting myself, which is why I needed that like support. And it wasn't like so much like support from like the outside of me, but like support from like me internally. And knowing that like in our DNA, we carry the strength and the resilience of our ancestors. Like they did not just pass down pain and hurt and all of that. They passed down their warrior aspect of themselves, that like ability to turn something, you know, not good into something way better, that resiliency and being able to see that the change that you can make starts from changing your internal world to be then reflected externally, and to really hone in on your self-worth and really knowing that you're not alone here. People are with you. Like whatever you're experiencing, everything that James talked about his suicide. Sorry, I'm like, I don't know why I was having a hard time saying that. His like being able to let go of, you know, that version of himself, like during that like awakening, I felt like it was for you, like a spiritual awakening, to really like tap into those aspects of how can you make it through? How can you make your life beautiful for you? How can you decide to paint on this beautiful canvas with the colors that you want? It's like asking yourself, like, what color is your canvas? Like for me, my canvas used to be like hella gray and red, and you know, there was not much color. And it was when you decide to throw away that canvas, start over, see what new possibilities exist for you, and be able to tap into your most authentic, loving self. And starting with like loving you, because you can only love other people as much as you love you. And you can only give so much of yourself as much as you give to you. Otherwise, you know, from experience, I know that when I was pouring into other people's cups and I was not pouring into my own, I became resentful and I became angry at myself because I knew that it was not in my highest intention to pour into these people more than to pour into myself. Because when you pour into others and you don't have anything for yourself, then that's something that you're telling yourself like you're not important. when in reality, you are important and you are someone that is capable of having whatever you decide for yourself, whatever you feel like is in alignment for you, whatever you feel like is in your highest intention, so that you're able to move forward into the life that you want. It's like, how can I get that new canvas, get all the colors that I want? And with all the colors, meaning like being able to experience the array of emotions, allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to feel that, you know, not so good emotions or not so positive emotions of like anger, sadness, like fear, all of that, really allowing yourself to feel into them so you can heal, so you can experience the array of emotions. Because if you're not experiencing the array of emotions, you're just like flatlining and you're surviving. But it's, how can you thrive? How can you move forward from a place of love and authenticity and acknowledgement? Acknowledgement for the things that didn't go well in your life. Acknowledgement, because your pain only wants to be seen. Your pain only wants to be heard and understood. And looking at it and saying like, damn, that was fucked up. Or that, like, I went through that. Whoa, I'm strong and I'm resilient because I went through that, you know? And gathering that strength and gathering those like lessons from those experiences for you to be able to navigate the world from a different lens. And you being like your own inspiration to then be able to inspire others, for them to be able to move in alignment and move forward in the way that is most true and most authentic to you. So, yeah.
I'll say this. The turning point of it all is, or the beautiful juxtaposition of it all, is when your mind goes from, why is this happening to me, to your heart. And it says, what am I learning? I told a friend, talked to her a few days ago, and we chopped it up for a bit. And she was sharing with me some of her stuff. And low key, it kind of, I wouldn't say, I'm not going to say low key, but it slipped out in conversation. She was like, what am I learning? I was like, oh, it hits you. She's like, what do you mean? Say what you just said again. She said, well, I was talking about this down the third, and you know, what am I learning? And then it hit her. She's like, oh. Well, welcome to your lesson, sis. And one thing I've learned, as she even said it, it reflected back to me in terms of, you know, the roadmap, the pathway. Because you've heard me say this on numerous occasions, like, yo, when you start going from like what is happening to me, or why is this happening to me, to what am I learning? That's, we don't talk about the pathway, the in between, but it's easy at the surface to say that. But in terms of the pathway, because ideally, what am I learning is more of the mind, and why is this happening to me is sometimes can be the matters of the heart. But when you get it going in that right direction, of in the mind again, why is this happening to me, to transmuting that to what am I learning of the heart, watch everything open up. You're able to take that step back in reflection to then ask yourself, like, all right, this happened, how am I feeling? Life sucks right now, but what is the lesson that I'm learning? And then once you learn that lesson, you start going back into parts of your life to where that same pattern may have came up, which leads to another lesson, how to respond. Because you could respond and you could be similar to me. Yes, graphic moment, raw moment. You could be like, fuck this shit. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this shit. But when you get to that place, that heart space of what am I learning, you take a step back and you be gentle with yourself. You deliver that. You start working towards compassion of yourself. Answers come up. A lot of people don't realize when you ask that question, it is a form, at least in my beliefs, it is the strongest form of self-love. I stand on it. Fight me. I stand on the fact of that.
I also think that it's, you know how you're saying, like, why is this, like, happening to me? And you're saying about the lessons. And it's like, how can we even, like, say, like, you said, like, with gratitude, right? Like, how is this happening for me? Because it's, like, taking it personal with to me. And it's, like, reframing it into, like, the lesson. And then transmuting what the lesson may be to for me. Like, how did these experiences happen in my life so that I can make it into something different, like alchemize it and be able to show up as the best version of myself? And it's like, we're not, I'm like, I feel like we're really, like, real. It's not all, like, light and love. When you do this type of work, you really have to sit with yourself and you really have to acknowledge all the parts of you, because it's not the, it's not always beautiful.
There's still some hardships. There's still hardships. There's still moments to where you have, like, raw 3D moments. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, like, you might tell somebody to fuck off, whatever. But when you get back to yourself, that moments, those little pocketed moments, is a moment for you to get back to you to provide yourself compassion and gratitude. Because if you was on that type of time beforehand, you'll probably be stuck with that and be in resentment of that person, place, or thing, situation, whatever.
Who said that?
But when you,
it's like, what must be going on within them for them to have a reaction like that? You know, because when you're able to see you with compassion, when you're able to see, like, what your experience is, then you're going to be able to have more, like, compassion for other people, for their life experience. It's like somebody cut you off and it's like, man, like, I hope they're okay. I hope that, you know, they get to their destination so that they can, you know, who knows? They might be in a hurry to get to the hospital. They might be in a hurry because, I don't know, something, instead of taking it, like, so personal. And it's like, it has nothing to do with us. Whatever people are experiencing, it's like, I let them just be, and I will just be with myself.
Once you learn to let go within yourself and your personal battles, you can let go of you. You then learn your strength of being able to let go of any and everything or everybody else around you. From that standpoint, once you learn to let go without no type of resentment or hate or discontent or strong whatever word you want to put to it, whatever. Whenever you let that go from that place without discontent, and you provide compassion for that person, it's simply because you provided compassion for yourself. Again, this is not to be all high and mighty as spiritualists or whatever that may have you, because at the end of the day, too, we're still human, right? And we still have our moments to where we might get mad at that one person cutting us in front of line. We still might get mad at somebody shortchanging us on something, somewhere, some way, somehow.
I mean, anger is just like a form of love. It's like somebody crossed your boundary. So you are allowed to be, like, angry and sad and experience the full array of emotions, because it's just saying, like, what they're doing is not good to you. It's not fair to you. So that's when your anger comes out.
What if I was to tell you that anger teaches you patience?
Yeah, and from a way of, like, instead of reacting, to, like, respond and, you know, shift your paradigm in terms of, like, how things are occurring. It's like, is that situation even worth your energy like that?
Facts.
You know, because I feel like so much time I've been in, like, situations where it's like, oh, it's so hard, or, like, there people are so angry, and I'm just like, why? When you could just, like, shift your perspective and it'd be, like, so simple. I mean, this comes from, like, I was never allowed to feel, like, anger. So I was really good at, like, shifting my perception around anger. But anger is valid. So I feel like I'm learning to, you know, be more in touch with, like, my anger from a place of like authenticity and standing in my power and really being there for myself to hone in on what it is that I want for myself and for others, and for me to be able to show up as like the best version of myself and the realest version of myself. Because it's like the best version is not just all love and light. I feel like the best version is the person who is, or the people who are like in their realness, in their rawness, because all parts of you are important, you know?
The highest version of self is the realest version of yourself.
The most authentic.
Exactly. Behind all of that is the self-love of the highs, the lows, the best parts of you, the flaws that you carry. That's the biggest thing. And even, and it, like, you probably heard me say this before, and I say it again, God damn it. If it ain't authentic, I don't want it. I don't need it, nor want it, nor desire it. It's like, if I'm trying to grow and ascend, getting back to that corner and circle drawing, I know where to place you, or that thing, or whatever that may have you. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to, like, we're at an hour, and we're a little bit over an hour, but just to put a bow on this pretty little gift that we want to present to you, I will close off on this question. If you are in a moment of struggle, if you are in a moment of peril, that's a big word. If you are dealing with, not even dealing with, if you feel like your life is at a daunting place, what is one thing you can do to create the shift in this present moment to get to where you want to be in your future self? Close your eyes. Don't go to sleep either, but close your eyes. Dream of where you want to be in the next 3 to 5 years. It don't have to be exactly having $1 million, but get real with yourself. How do you want to feel? How do you want to look? What type of people do you want to be surrounded by? Just get granular to that degree. Dang, I'm using my coach's words. Coach Kara taught me that. Granular. She hit me in the head with that one a few times. I miss my coach. But get granular with that. It don't have to be at the apex of where you want to be of your life. But if it's about how you want to feel, how you want to look, the people that you surround yourself by, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? And what is one step that you can take to get there? It don't have to be big. It don't have to be small. It could be just right. I'm not talking Goldilocks either. So I will close off on that. Survival and scarcity and lack, all those things, is false. It's a false reality. We allow it to be real when we choose that.
When we focus our attention on that. When we choose that over abundance. And part of it is too the programming. It's like, what programming did we inherit? And it's not like about rejecting the programming. It's more about like, okay, there's validity to whatever was experienced by the people before me, but how is it that I can change it so that my lineage in the future is not plagued with worries, plagued with like just things that don't serve. And instead of it being from a place of survival, being from a place of thriving. And how can I embed that concept into the future generations of my lineage?
There you have it. That being said, happy Super Bowl Sunday. I hope both teams lose. I had to get that off my chest. I despise both teams. I just wanted to throw that out there. Aside from that, happy Sunday. Again, thank you for coming by to listen. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here with my goofy ass and Coach Eva. I'm not saying this to dog myself out. I know I'm a natural goof. Don't judge me. But thank you. You are much appreciated. On a serious note, you know, if you are struggling, much love from us to you. And just know that at the end of the day, when you come out of this, not when, or is that the right word? Yeah. When you come out of this, not if, when you come out of this, you're going to remind just you'll recognize within yourself about how unbreakable you are. You are a warrior, just like all of us. But that being said,
and how is it that you're a gift to this world? When you truly see yourself as a gift, it's like, whoa, like, how is it that I'm choosing to view myself from such a positive regard that maybe nobody that I know sees themselves as that?
Facts.
It's like, you're a gift, you're a blessing. And it's like, yeah, like, things may not always go as planned, but it's like, when you focus your attention on doing that and being of value and providing that, like, service, like, how is it that you're able to move closer to, like, alignment and what it is that you're doing in this life?
There you have it. That being said, you can catch me, Coach James Tates, at Soul Tribe Transformations on Instagram. Hit me up, DM me. If you're struggling, please do not hesitate to reach out. Like, all vulnerability is welcome. Coach Eva, how can we find you with 111 on the clock or on the timer?
Yeah. You can go on my Instagram and also my website, Reveal, Release, Reclaim. And then for the website is .com. And you'll be able to see there. You can book a call. You can apply to work with me, like, whichever, whatever you feel like more enticed. Like, I would love to have conversations. Like, I live for doing this. This is what I came to do here on earth, to, like, help and just be of service, you know, and provide value, and just know that what I radiate here just feels so good. And yeah, Coach Eva Morales, Holistic Healing Coach at Reveal, Release, Reclaim. And yeah, so excited.
I had to play the silent cheerleader. I had to hype you up a little bit.
Love the hype.
You see, I did it with just such a stern face. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
All right. This is bad when you have Sagittarius, Leo, and Scorpio in your chart. We're not going to get into that. That's a conversation for another day. Aside from that, thank you for being here. Again, this is the Breakout of the Unhinged. Enjoy your Sunday. Again, I hope the Super Bowl ends in a draw where no team gets the trophy. You have a good one. Bye.
Bye.